You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, folks, the second half of the season has officially begun. Today, the Houston Astros and the Pittsburgh Pirates, that's right, I said the Pittsburgh Pirates, are starting the second half of the season. I'm joined by Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates, part of the award-winning Locked On Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Green Room, and you need to go download the app, check us out. This either tonight or tomorrow, Eric and I will be live. You can be a part of the conversation. But we've got this and so many more things coming your way. We will talk trade proposals, possibly with the Pirates. We will talk about what other teams are talking to the Pirates. And do the Astros have a trade brewing with the Cubs? We'll talk about that today on Locked On Pirates and Locked On Astros.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we are the place where you can get all your daily Astros information. I'm H-Town Wheelhouse, and sitting in with a co-host. This is not a new co-host. Eric is still here. I just am joined for a little crossover episode. We figured we'd work in some National League magic with the Locked On Pirates. Ethan, tell the folks where they can find you.
Well, of course, you can find me on most of the places where you can find H-Town Wheelhouse, Spotify, Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, all at Locked On Pirates. You can also follow the Twitter if you want to learn anything about the team rebuilding. You can also follow me on Twitter at MVP underscore Ethan if you want to hear anything about anything going on in the rebuild.
Yes, and you have one of Houston's own baseball sons, Cabrian Hayes, there in Pittsburgh. I know that's been a big deal for you this year. That's great to have you on. You can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Strohs411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Strohs. So what we want to do to kick off the show is we want to do some first half season grades. Now, I want to take that with a grain of salt with the Pirates, because we know that you use the word rebuild. And anytime you use the word rebuild, that means that there's definitely some growing pains. But even with growing pains, there are some good things. So, Ethan, I'm going to start off, and I'm going to kind of just shotgun this Astros offense to start. And then after I do that, I want you to tell me about the Pirates offense in the first half and how you think that they've done. Okay. So if we're grading, so I'm a teacher, I'm going to give them an A plus. I can't give more than one A plus because, I guess this would be a situation where I would give bonus points. Maybe you could score 105 on this test, but they came into the season with high expectations as being one of the top offenses, and they are. And despite dealing with COVID protocols early in the year and knocking out some major players in their roster, their MVP caliber third baseman, Alex Bregman, still being out recovering from a quad injury, I think it's safe to say that being a top offense was maybe a bit of an understatement. They are a beast of a team. They sport the best WRC plus with 122. The closest team to them is the Toronto Blue Jays, who has quite the powerful offense. They lead in run differential, Ethan. It speaks to their pitching as well, and we'll get to that later. They lead in the lowest swing and miss rate, the highest contact percentage, again, the lowest strikeout rate. They also lead in team average, 269, RBIs, 475, runs, 496, OBP, 344, OPS, 783. And, I mean, the sky's the limit. They are on a historic run. But one of the cool things about this offense, Ethan, and I don't know how much Astros you follow, but Miles Straw has been a great surprise for this team. He has been a guy that I criticized early on because I was like, you know, last year I was like, we got to give him a chance. And I guess this year when he had his chance, I was overly hypercritical of Miles Straw, but his plate discipline, his selectiveness, and just overall awareness. And he may not hit for power, but where he lacks in power, he has speed. He hits the ball in key situations. And, you know, he drives and runs here or there. Kyle Tucker has come in hot lately, just been phenomenal. Hitting basically the home runs, we're not tops in the league, but we've got power. We've got Jose Altuve, the leadoff guy, hitting grand slams, walking off the Yankees like he normally does, being the Yankees daddy. It's just been a phenomenal thing because of the amount of hatred that has rained down on these hitters. And you would think, because baseball is such a mental sport, that, man, all these boos and all these heckling would bother them, and I think it's fueled them. And I'm going to round it out with this, with Brantley, with Gurriel. I mean, Gurriel last year had a less than desirable season at the plate, and this year has turned it on. It's been one of the top three in the league and has been going back and forth with the all-star game MVP, Vlad Guerrero Jr., for that top spot for the batting title. And then Brantley doing Brantley things, you know, the professor at the plate, Dr. Smooth himself, and then Carlos Correa having a great year, you know, showing his oppo power, showing his swag, telling the Astros, I'm worth $350 million. You need to pay me because I'm going to be here. I'm going to be around for a long time, and you can either ride with me or I'm out. And so that's a big thing. Our catchers is probably our most desirable place where we need a pickup and improvement, and we'll talk about that when we get to talking about trades. But I'm giving our offense an A+. I just tried to basically wrap everything up in a little 3 or 4 minute synopsis. Now, Pirates, where are you guys at? I know you're rebuilding, but where are you guys at offensively? If you were to give a grade A through F, where would you grade your guys?
Probably in the C to D range. Mainly, yeah, most people see Adam Frazier. Yeah, he's leading the league in like pretty much every average basis and second baseman that you can see. Brian Reynolds, of course, the other all-star, above 300. Key Brian Hayes, he's been in a bit of a slump lately, but he's still in the 260 range. But after that, the drop goes. I mean, they're 19th in baseball on average. Of course, a lot of that is due to Adam Frazier. But more importantly, they're last in OPS behind the Mariners and the Marlins. So realistically, not too many things going great. We only have one guy in the whole lineup right now that is in the double-digit margins of home runs, and that's Brian Reynolds at 16. So I would have to give it probably at best a C minus, because after you get past the Adam Frazier leadoff, the Brian Reynolds or Key Brian Hayes batting second and third, realistically at that point, you're really falling off a cliff. Big part of that, Colin Moran has been hurt this year. Of course, Astros fans know Colin Moran from the Garrett Cole trade. Kevin Newman's bat did not translate from spring training when he broke the spring training batting average record. And then after that, you've probably seen about a good 9 or 10 different outfielders in the outfield this year, it seems like. But all of a sudden, now you have this guy named John Nogalski. He's basically, as Dejan Kovacevic, who's one of the people who covers the Pirates, called him a beer leaguer, if you guys want to look up his name. He looks like a beer leaguer, honestly. He literally just goes up there, hits the ball, and runs the first base, calls it a day. But realistically, the offense has a lot of room for improvement. Pitching-wise, on the pitching side of things, I mean, the pitching staff has definitely been much better. We're obviously going to talk about a potential trade for the Astros and the Pirates dealing with one of our pitchers, because at one point in the year, Richard Rodriguez looked like he was going to be an all-star and one of the better closers in baseball, and has still remained a very solid closer in baseball. You also have guys like Chris Stratton who have done well. JT Brubaker has shown spurts. Max Kranick had a 5-inning perfect game, no-hitter pretty much kind of thing against the Cardinals before that game got into a rain delay and he had to come out. But that was his first ever major league game. So a lot of moving parts right now, but also after a very strong draft, you really can't expect anything less than that. As far as improvements going into the second half, just score more than 3 or 4 runs a game. Like that'd be really nice.
Yeah, you know, I know in opening day there was some offensive fireworks, and I remember listening in on some of your in-game reactions through the green room, and you were like really pumped. And we have had our lean years here in Houston. I mean, you know, Pirates have had a share of their success, and their lean years as well. It's kind of a big up and down. But one person I forgot to bring up earlier with our offense, because he doesn't play every day, is Chaz McCormick. And not that he's forgettable, but there are so many hitters on in this lineup. And we are in such a sweet spot, I think a great time as a Houston Astros fan and as just a Astros Nation. We have Chaz McCormick and Miles Straw really pushing each other. Someone I know connected with Miles Straw. I asked them about that competition between, we call him Chazzy Fizz, and I say getting fizzy with it and all this stuff. We ask him, like, what is the relationship between Straw and McCormick? And they were like, and this person told me who knows them, it drives them. It pushes them. Like, they want the other to succeed. Like, they want to be successful. They want to be the guy, but they also, and that's what I like about the clubhouse environment with the Houston Astros. Now, from your perspective, okay, the Pirates, you know, you guys are in the National League. I don't even think we even play you guys this year, do we? No. Okay. So, yes. So we don't play you guys. What has been your take from a Pirates perspective about the booing and the stuff that the Astros have faced? Because we haven't really talked about it. I just want to get your take on it.
I mean, realistically, it happened. It is what it is. The slap on the wrist or slap on the hand, or as people like to call it, happened already. We saw the draft. Obviously, I was big on the draft because we had the number one pick. The Astros did not have a pick until the third round because of some of this stuff. Realistically, it's 2021 now. This stuff all happened when 2017, 2018, 2016. Right. Honestly, as a Pirates fan, if this would have happened in 2013 through 2015, when we were a very competitive team, and say it would have been the Cardinals or somebody else that did it, then I would have more reasons to be upset. But realistically, watching it, I mean, we traded Gerrit Cole to Houston. I'm going to be honest. Whatever a player like that gets traded, like a Gerrit Cole or in any sport, realistically, as long as they're not a wacko like Antonio Brown whenever he left, I realistically will root for the guy. And when Gerrit Cole won a World Series in Houston, I said, okay, I'm happy for the guy. This trade worked out. And realistically, for all intents and purposes, it didn't work out so much for the Pirates. I mean, I can't even think of his name. Michael Perez is no longer on the team anymore. Colin Moran is dealing with injuries and stuff like that. While you have a guy like Mason Martin as a first baseman. But as far as all that stuff goes, people are going to boo regardless. It's just something that happens. But it's the same thing in any sport with any big team. People act like they don't boo the Yankees anymore. It's like the Yankees get booed everywhere they go. It's just
they got booed at the All-Star game, I believe.
And for me as well, is it's like being a Pirates fan. The Cubs are one of the more prestigious like organizations in baseball. If I was to walk into Wrigley Field this minute, they would boo me for just having a Pirates hat on. Same thing with when Chicago comes to Pittsburgh. You just boo the Cubs. Like that's really where it comes from.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. So earlier you had said Cole actually, we almost won the World Series with Gerrit Cole.
Oh yeah,
that was a painful 2019 versus the Nationals. I remember Cole was warming up.
Yeah.
And he was noticeably pissed off that he didn't get put in that game. That's when Will Harris gave up that tater to Howie Kendrick. I can't say the guy's name. He had like three or four big playoff moments that year. Yeah. But you know, so I have an A grade. You said you have a C or a D grade for your offense. I think for our starting pitching, I'm going to give us a C. And I know people could grade that a little higher. People could grade that a little lower. But since I'm the professor on staff right now, I will give you my brief reason why. The biggest knock on the Astros starters is not going deep into games consistently. They have gone deep into games lately, but early on they were not doing that. So there are factors that cause this to be skewed a little bit. There are a lot of times you have injuries. You have various things going on. The Astros are 21st in pitches per inning. They throw 16.59 pitches per inning. That's a very, very high clip. And that has a domino effect. When you do that, then the starters are leaving the games early. But regardless of their difficult start or their difficult times, Lance McCullers Jr. and Zach Greinke have had solid years, both at 8 wins and 6 wins, respectively. Odorizzi has been a mixed bag of goods for us. He's shown flashes of brilliance. He's shown flashes of just giving up a ton of stuff. And Framber Valdez being off of this roster for the first part of the season from the freak accident where he jammed his finger and broke it, pulling a ball out of the glove from a comebacker from Francisco Lindor, of all people. Then he was out, but he's come back and he's been brilliant. So our staff, I believe, would grade out higher than a C if they had not had these hurdles to overcome. And then our relief pitching, I think, has been our biggest need. That's what will lead us here into here in a second into the talk about the Pirates and the Astros. But what I want to ask is, have you heard of Built Bar?
Yes, I have.
All right. So Built Bar is the best tasting bar in the land. If you eat protein bars and it's not a Built Bar, you need to apologize to your stomach and your budget, because Built Bars are affordable. They're tasty. They're wrapped in 100% chocolate. And that's right, for the healthy, conscious guy or girl, whether you are on the keto diet, whether you're trying to lose or maintain weight, Built Bars are the way to go. You can have one, you can have two. I mean, I make them a part of my high protein diet. You should too. They have grasshopper cookie, which is like the thin mint cookie, but in a bar. And I mean, why go get a Snickers bar or some candy bar that's just going to load the calories and load the sugar, where like Built Bars, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of fat, 4 to 5 grams of carbs, 130 to 180 calories total, but 17 to 19 grams of protein. And that is what you need pre-workout, post-workout, during the workout, whatever it is, builtbar.com. You need to go to built.com and use a promo code LOCKS15 to get 15% off your order. That's LOCKS15 at built.com. Tell them that HL Wheelhouse sent you. All right. Now, if we're talking about Built Bars and protein bars, and we're talking about trading here pretty soon, I could probably go to Bet Online and see maybe trade scenarios, World Series probabilities. Tell the fans about betonline.ag.
I mean, betonline.ag, it's the fastest and easiest way for sports betting. You can bet on the NBA finals as they proceed, as the moment game five is tomorrow. You can bet on all that stuff. You can bet on Major League Baseball all day. They have all the lines there. Whenever college football and NFL come back, they have lines every single day. It's super easy to go on there as well. Everything with betonline.ag is even more fun because they even have a casino. So if you want to go and, like, you know, do a bunch of stuff with that as well, they have slots, poker, all that good stuff. But realistically, as a sports book, it's really awesome. And if you go to the sports book right now, you can get a 50% deposit bonus, meaning they will basically match up to 50% of whatever you deposit first when you use the promo code LOCKEDON on their website. And that is BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And honestly, I will not lie, I've made some money off of it too. There's been some times where I bet the Pirates as the underdog and they came out and won. So make money at betonline.ag and tell them that Ethan sent you as a winner.
Nice. There you go. Yeah, me too. I did that during the Fame Super Bowl and the GOAT in action down there in Tampa in his home stadium. So yeah, that is definitely a good thing. And just to kind of round out the pitching, because I want this to lead into talking about some names that I have. I talk often to one of our listeners and one of our biggest fans. His name is Larry. He goes by Larry the GM. He's not a GM, but he'll even say, look, I'm not a GM, but what he does is he takes a logical look. So a lot of times if I have thoughts, I'll go to him. I'll go to some other sources, people that I talk to, and him and I have been kicking this around quite a bit in our chats, and where we have guys that are coming back, Pedro Baez, we have Austin Pruitt coming back. We have Joe Smith, who's really been a ghost of himself this year for the most part. Mm-hmm. Belak, we can just kind of, he just needs a reset. Outside of Presley, our bullpen has been kind of helter-skelter. It's been topsy-turvy. Like, Stanek has been great and brilliant sometimes and others not. Brooks Raley has been a victim of really, really bad, really unlucky situations, okay? And so when I look at your relief pitchers, I know Rodriguez is a top guy, and I really thought that's where I wanted to go, but when I go to the baseball trade values website, his value is so high, like a 12.1. I'm thinking your GM's going to want a 24.2 guy. Like, he's going to want a king's ransom for that guy. And so I have a question. I've got a couple names, Bednar and Daniels. which are lower valued guys, but have Bednar has really good numbers this year. What are the Pirates looking for, do you think, in a trade if they trade some bullpen arms?
Realistically, one of the things that I've seen from some other sites and other people who cover the Pirates as well is there's been a few names in the system for the Astros that have been thrown out there, but most of them are either an MLB-ready guy or a high-risk guy. One of the high-risk guys, and a lot of it is in kind of the middle area of your system, so nothing really in the top 10. We've kind of already said we don't think we're getting anything in the top 10. One name I've heard that's been kind of rumbled around is Nivaldo Rodriguez, your 16th-ranked prospect via Fangraphs. They value him as a low kind of risk guy. And then there's some other guys here too as well, pitching-wise. It's always pitching with Ben, like with Ben Cherington. You saw that really heavily. But I don't think in the Rodriguez deal, I don't think he's going to really ask for what that MLB trade thing would like say that he is worth. He's worth a lot. He's probably okay. The best reliever on the market behind Craig Kimbrel, but he's going to, I think he'd start here, like up here, and then slowly build himself down. Because, I mean, why not? Like, let's say he does ask for the King's ransom and the Astros accept it. Okay, cool. You at least asked. If they don't accept it, again, you just at least ask for it. The thing is with Rodriguez, though, that's so intriguing, and this is something that people forget, is I believe Craig Kimbrel, can't pronounce his name today, is a free agent after this year, correct?
Yes. Yeah, he is. He would basically be a rental. So I'm Heel, who's one of our most faithful followers. I believe he's made every show. He said, let's go all in on Reynolds and Kimbrel, and we can go the distance. There are so many. I don't know if you saw the here. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but I'll tell you, it's a ridiculous fan-sided article that I saw. I talked a little bit about it last night, but if we're going by that chart, by that trade simulator that I believe it's called baseballtradevalues.com, which is kind of a quirky site, the guys that reach up close to 12 are Toro, Brown, Colin Barber, Chaz McCormick. I don't see them trading Hunter Brown. He is one of the guys that has the most promise, I think, in the long run to be a top five starter on this team. Toro, I can see that they would want to trade him, but right now we have a shortage in the infield because Diaz is still just now coming back from the broken hand. Robel Garcia has not been great in the field, but I could see us getting rid of someone like a Brewer or a Daniels, or like you mentioned, our number 16 prospect. It all depends on what the Astros are willing to give. So here's the million-dollar question. Jim Crane has told James Click, the wallet's open. You can go over the luxury tax. I don't care. But the second point to that is, okay, great. But now who are you willing to give? While Crane has said, and let me get your thoughts on this. While Crane has said nobody is off limits, there's truly guys that are off limits. I mean, you guys aren't going to give up, you know, Cabrian Hayes. Reynolds and Frazier may be trade pieces, but they're going to get a lot back. They're not just going to give them away for nothing.
Yeah, and the thing that I was going to go back to with Rodriguez versus Kimbrel is Kimbrel's a rental. He is, unless he signs. Richard Rodriguez, if you trade for the guy, has team control until 2023.
Okay.
Like all the way through, which is where his value inflates a little bit, because what happens if, say, the Astros do pick him up, and he's like, okay, well, you're obviously keeping him, but that's a good bullpen arm if he stays consistent for the next 2 years. That fixes a lot of your problems, especially I think I saw somebody say earlier that you guys need an eighth inning guy. He's normally our closer, but maybe he's that eighth inning guy for the Astros. I see I'm Heel also asked, what would the Pirates want for Brian Reynolds? Reportedly, from what I've heard, two top 100 prospects and another prospect on top of that. So how that happen?
Yeah,
with like 5 years of team control, I don't see Brian Reynolds going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Our only top 100 true top 100 prospect is Forrest Whitley, and he's not even pitching right now. So that is where I think we have some valuable pieces. I think we have some guys that offer some intrigue. It all depends. So would you say this is a seller's market because of the high demand? I mean, there's always a demand for relief pitchers, right? But it seems like this year, because of injuries, and I really think a lot of it has to do with the 2020 shortened season. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is more of a seller's market than a buyer's market?
I was going to say, now that you asked this question today, 2 days ago, I would have said yes, because I didn't expect four of the five teams in the NL East to be buying.
Oh.
So apparently the Phillies, Mets, Braves, and Nationals are all going to be buying. Also, that includes the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres. He moved to the AL. Toronto's going to buy. They have to. They have too much talent on that team not to buy and try to come back. The Rays, the Red Sox, and the Yankees. That's four more teams in your division. Seattle's actually kind of in the mix right now for the playoffs. I don't know if people really know that, but they're five games above 500. So realistically, you could see some stuff like that that could happen, but I really think it's more of a buyer's market this year, and teams like Detroit, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Texas even can really capitalize on this kind of thing.
Yeah, so there was a trade proposal that myself and Larry the GM were talking about, and this is actually his idea, and I didn't like it because of the cost. Now Hunter Brown, I don't know how much you know about him, but this is a kid that's originally from Detroit. Mm-hmm. And when he pitches, the kid looks like Justin Verlander. Like, he just looks like a clone of him, and he's got great movement on his fastball. He's got a massive spin rate. But he said we could just go for Contreras and Chafin. And what we would trade, this is a big go big or go home kind of trade. And this may be painful. Toro, Brown, Colin Barber, and Stubbs. I mean, those are huge. Those are huge pieces. Now, you would put a third catcher on this roster where Maldonado, what happens to him? I mean, his role would have to be reduced. Jason Castro's role seems to be next to nothing right now, to be honest. It's just one of those things where, that is a trade that I think would be awesome if it happened, but again, painful in the end. We've had good success, I think, with trading for you guys. Do you think the Pirates have gotten the short end of the stick when we've traded with you guys, or do you think some things have panned out for y'all?
In the Gerrit Cole trade, yes. I mean, it's kind of obvious, but I realistically don't think anybody expected Gerrit Cole to become a top five pitcher in baseball after that trade. The way he looked in Pittsburgh, he looked like he was just kind of like a mid-level, above-average guy, and then all of a sudden he turns into this. At the time, also, Michael Perez, Colin Moran, and some of those other pieces were also not really known commodities yet. So the fact that they did turn into guys that were on the major league roster is good enough. If you want to bring up catchers, not sure how you feel about this, but Jacob Stallings is another guy you could watch as a guy that could move for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's more defensive first, but he does have a .250 batting average this year, so he can still hit the baseball. He would not come near the premium that Contreras would come. I would say that.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that you could watch too. I mean, as I've mentioned before, I think the only two or three guys on this team that are untouchable are Key Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, and Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller's in AAA right now trying to figure out his command. I don't know what the world's going on with all that at this point. But on the major league roster, there's two guys that are untouchable. That's Key Brian Hayes and Brian Reynolds. Everyone else, if Ben Cherington gets the offer he wants, they might be gone.
So what kind of deal would Adam Frazier be going to? Does he have 2 years left? What kind of contract does he have?
Adam Frazier, as of right now, going into this offseason, is arbitration eligible. So you would have him for the trade deadline, the rest of this year, and then next year, and his age 30 season next year, and then he's a free agent. Which is why some Pirates fans, obviously, oh, we finally get an all-star and you're going to trade him again, just like with Josh Bell, who's hitting like .210 with the Washington Nationals right now. They're all like, why are you trying to trade him? And then, like, you hear about Brian Reynolds, and they're like, why are you trying to trade him? It's very much different in the two cases because Brian Reynolds is 26 with, like, 5 years of control. Jacob Stallings is another guy. He has a lot of control as well. So if the Astros decided to go that route as far as catcher, I believe he's 3 or 4 years. That's probably the one thing the Pirates have right now that's very good for their rebuild. A lot of these guys are under control. One of those guys happens to not be Adam Frazier, which is why the trade market for him is so high, because the Pirates are willing to move on from him. Because are we really going to be competing in his age 32 or 33 season?
Yeah, exactly. And I know Rodriguez in July was like a 5.4 ERA. So he's had a less than favorable, more recent memory, which during the trade deadline may not bode well for the person being traded and the opportunities given. This is a really good question. This is something we've basically hit on every once in a while. It says we might not have to trade anybody. This is Larry Oviedo. If Baez comes back and is coming back and in the playoffs, starters will go in as relievers as well. So basically, here's what I think he's trying to say. If Baez comes back and these guys come back from the IL and they do what they're supposed to do, and Austin Pruitt does what he's supposed to do, and you have guys to lean on like Javier, Luis Garcia, McCullers, Greinke. I mean, you've got this stacked Framber Valdez. To me, I think the Astros have a good situation for a short series, better than a long season. But those guys have to come off the IL and they have to be good. Mm-hmm. Here's the flip side of the coin. If you do trade, they have to be better than the guys you have. You can't trade and have the guys be the same or worse, because then you shoot yourself in the foot, because now you're giving away probably major league level talent for guys that don't pan out. And I don't know if I want to give away major league ready guys for a 1 or 2 inning guy if that's all he's going to give me every few days.
Yeah, and I mean, realistically, and Richard Rodriguez could kind of be that way for the Astros, but it's also on the flip side of the coin. If he comes into Houston and starts really doing well really, really fast, I mean, if he's your closer in the playoffs and he gets hot, you never know. That might be how you turn the tide in a 5-game series.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he also says, well, in our defense, the Pirates also couldn't get the full potential out of their starter, Gerrit Cole or Joe Musgrove. A little shot at the Pirates there. But, you know, I mean, here's the thing. I really think what Brent Strom does with pitchers has been really good. I mean, you know, Dallas Keuchel got to his Cy Young caliber here in Houston. And I think sometimes a change of scenery too. I don't think it's just the coaching. Sometimes it's a mental block. I mean, look at veterans like Brad Lidge. I mean, he was toast after that home run to Pujols. I was at that game. I remember that like it was yesterday. Like, I still have dreams about Albert Pujols crushing that ball and hearing the ball hit the train tracks in the glass at Minute Maid Park. Like, you know, some people joke the ball still hasn't landed. But when Brad Lidge went to Philadelphia, what did he do? He helped them win a World Series. And he was Brad Lidge, you know, lights out Lidge. This is an excellent question here. It says, do you see Verlander returning in a Smoltz type role? If Verlander comes back, he will absolutely be in the bullpen. He will not be a starter. He would absolutely be. I don't know that he would be a closer, but imagine if he comes back feeling strong enough to throw, Ethan, and we're in the heat of the ALCS or we're in the heat of the World Series against the Dodgers, and we bring in game 5, Justin Verlander comes in to pitch the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning to set it up for Presley. What a storyline that would be.
And as of right now, I do have to ask, from being on the NL side, I don't pay attention to the standings too much. If you guys win the division, who would you be playing in the ALDS right now? Would it be the White Sox or the Red Sox?
Right now, it would be the Red Sox as the standings hold, because then it would be, I believe it would be Oakland and Tampa. The winner of that would play the White Sox. And then we would play the winner of our series. We would play the winner of that series. So, yeah. So right now it's the Red Sox. And, hey, against good teams, we've got the best record against teams over 500. So I don't care who we play. I think we have a chance to beat everyone this year. I mean, I'm not being arrogant. I'm just, the proof's in the pudding.
Well, here I'll ask you a very interesting question then. As a Pirates fan, obviously we're out of contention. I'm kind of looking for teams to root for right now in this postseason. So outside of even the Astros, like in the National League, who do you think I should be pulling for?
In the National League, man, how could you not cheer for the Padres?
Yeah,
I mean, the team with that kind of swag. I mean, when you have relief pitchers coming up from AAA hitting freaking grand slams in their first major league at bat, like, I really want them to get past a division series. Like, I was really disappointed. I felt kind of like a dad. Like, you know, I've got a son who's 13. I was dad disappointed whenever the Padres got beat, because when they won that first series, it was like, oh, they're going to do this. And they absolutely laid a goose egg. I hope they catch fire in the playoffs. I personally want to face the Dodgers, but I mean, but then again, the Giants, I mean, who's rooting for those guys except everybody in San Francisco and Sully, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so I think the Giants or the Pirates are fun teams, you know, to root for.
Yeah. And I mean, realistically too, I mean, it's kind of the same situation the Pirates were back in 2015 when the Cardinals, Cubs, and the Pirates were the three best teams in all of baseball, not just the division, in baseball. And the Pirates got bounced from the wild card game by Jake Arrieta. The Cardinals then got bounced by the Cubs in that game, or the Cardinals bounced them. I can't remember. But that's the same situation here. Two of those three teams you just named, the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Padres, are going to be out of the playoffs by the end of the NLDS.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I think whether your team's in it or not, I think this year is going to be fun for the playoffs, because mm-hmm. it seems like, I mean, shoot, the Braves are, you know, the Braves are ramping up. They feel like they really dropped the ball last year. I mean, I was surprised with the way the NL played out. And I know obviously the Dodgers were the better team because they did win it all. But at the same time, I expected a lot more smoke out of the Braves, out of the Cardinals, and I didn't see it. So it would definitely be fun. I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. Ethan, final thoughts on your Pittsburgh Pirates going forward. What should the fans be looking for the second half of the season?
Realistically, can T. Brian Hayes come out of this recent slump he's had in the last 15 games? I would say yes. Pitchers are throwing to him a lot of heat inside, so we'll see how he bounces back from that. But realistically, the individual development that you see in the farm system and at the major league level with some of these younger guys, I'll be honest, sometimes it's more fun to watch Altoona, Bradenton, Greensboro, and Indianapolis than it is the major league team. I understand that. So why not do it? I mean, realistically, you have fun guys in the system that maybe even as soon as next year are going to be here. O'Neill Cruz is a 6'7" shortstop. The only other guy that's 6'7" in Major League Baseball right now happens to be on H-Town Wheelhouse's most hated team, and that's Aaron Judge. So that's something to be excited for. Nick Gonzalez, the first-round pick from last year, was awesome. Yes, I am heel. We will make sure we touch first base, by the way. I knew that was coming every time I come. Every time I do a crossover, I knew it was coming. And by the way, a complete aside, Will Craig has now been released and designated for assignment by the Pirates and is now heading to Japan after that play that he had with Javi Baez.
Really?
Actually a thing. They're he's basically been written off now.
So, wow. But as man.
Fans, realistically, it doesn't matter how many wins or losses this team has. If they lose 100 games, it's whatever. Just look for the individual development of these players. Realistically, again, I mentioned two guys yesterday, Key Brian Hayes and JT Brubaker. Those two guys, just look out for them, see what they're doing this year, and then move into the offseason, see what Ben Cherington decides to do. And realistically, over these next 14 days, hope Ben Cherington gets even more of a haul of prospects than he already has.
Excellent, excellent deal. And, you know, Astros fans, I think for us, we are simply looking for – more of the same. We actually are looking for this bullpen to get fully healthy, Anoli Paredes to come back, Andre Scrub to do the things he's supposed to be doing with his curveball. You know, just the health of the players, I think, is number one, because we have Carlos Correa on the IL because of COVID protocol. He's not tested positive for anything, but there were symptoms there apparently, and there's some other issues that are waning for several of our players. Mm-hmm. Health is key. But even with our players that aren't healthy, it's been next man up. We have a solid top to bottom lineup, and I don't see them relinquishing the division lead. If they do, it will be maybe for a day or two, and then they'll get right back on top, because I think Oakland is has a lot more to desire and need than we do. And my final thought is, I don't think we have to trade. I think we can win the 2021 World Series without making a trade, breaking a bank, or giving up too much. That's my hot take. I'm H-Town Wheelhouse with Locked On Astros. We're your team every day, joined by Ethan here from the Locked On Pirates Network. And in Locked On the Locked On Today episode, you want to check out and hear, did Tom Brady, he gave sports fans another reason to love him or hate him? Get more of the sports news you need in less time on Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on Audacity app or wherever you get your podcast. Join the great Peter Bukowski as he breaks things down in less than 20 minutes. We're the Locked On Network. We're Locked On Astros, joined with Locked On Pirates. Go, Ke'Bryan Hayes. Go get out of that slump. Let's go. Some H-Town love to you in Pittsburgh. Ethan, thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah.
You have a good one.
And we're out. Thank you.